Now it's time for Wisconsin Life and our special series on sports and games. Tucked inside the basement of a neighborhood bar in southwest Milwaukee, you'll find the oldest bowling alley in the country. The Holler House has been welcoming customers for over 100 years and hasn't changed much in that time. Machines, they've never replaced the human pin setters. Bowlers keep score by hand. Maureen McCollum visited the landmark during this Sunday afternoon men's league and learned how Holler House got its name.
A man came in here one day and he said, "Would you like to get drunk with me? My wife's in California." And I said, "Sure, what the heck?" And then the following week when she came back, she's a little German lady. And the day he brought her in, there was a political convention. Everybody's arguing politics. The jukebox is going. Somebody's playing that beat-up piano, and she didn't know where to look. So the following week, he was taking her out to dinner. And he says, "Sir, where would you like to go for a couple cocktails before I take you to dinner?" She said, "Take me to that Holler House." My name is Marcy Skaronski, and I've been here 61 years. My in-laws built this place.
It's over.
Oldest sanctioned bowling alley in the nation. Once it's sanctioned, then you like if you bowl a 300, and then it counts, yeah.
These are the original lanes, I believe, yeah. So, you know, 100 years of rolling balls down it, you know. Even the approach, it's kind of gnarly here, you know, but it's great. That's why you like it here, you know.
Get down there.
Yeah, we keep track of score on paper.
Kids nowadays have to get the calculators out. We do it manually.
No computers. It's kind of unplugging. We're all plugged in all the time, so. I'm Brian Larson.
My name's John. John Knacker. I've been bowling here since 1978. It's just nice to get out of the house during the winter. And
what'd you get, John?
For sure.
Bear.
Very
nice.
Get some good exercise.
Is that what's the 12-ounce curl?
Hey, I'm throwing an 18-pound ball.
Sunday fun day. I love Sunday.
I bowled till I was about 72, because I'm 89 now. The way I throw my ball, it was so slow that the pin boys just about fell asleep before it hit. It would just go out.
I think I'm faster than a machine. Personally, Carmelo Silva, and what I usually do here is set pins. People bowl here, and I've been working here since 8th grade, 4 years now. It's unique. It's a unique job, and that's what I like about it as well. A lot of people ask me to take pictures with them to sign their score sheets, and I'm just a pin boy. I didn't know I would be taking pictures or signing stuff.
It's comforting knowing that there's some things that don't change, you know, that, I mean, we all like change, but there's some things, there's comfort in knowing that something's always going to be there, or we hope it does, you know. My name's Matthew Oak. Still in my 3rd year, actually. I guess I say only because a lot of these guys, you know, it's like decades long.
We got nice people that come here. Some friends of ours that have been coming in here 50, 60 years. And then the old pin boys, when they go into their careers and they retire, and when they were in Milwaukee, they still come and see me.
Oh! Good effort! Close but no cigar!
Good effort! Know all these guys like family. Marcy's the greatest person in the world and a great cook.
The beer tastes great every time you come here, that's for sure. Right.
Carry it. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
From those human pin setters of the early days to the automated scoring and light shows we see in alleys today, bowling has long been a favorite sport in Wisconsin.
And joining us now to talk about how the city of Milwaukee played a key role in bowling's rise to national popularity is Doug Schmidt, author of They Came to Bowl, How Milwaukee Became America's Ten-Pin Capital. He's also publisher of the Ten-Pin Journal, a monthly periodical that circulates in 45 bowling centers throughout the state. Doug, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, Doug, can you give us a brief history of the sport, bowling? Where did it begin?
Well, it had several incarnations many centuries ago in Europe. There was a British version and a French had a version, but the most popular incarnation was developed by the Germans, and it used to be played at cultural events and things where they actually started betting on it. It started off, it evolved into a game of nine pins. It was bowled along a long plank, and it wasn't until it really reached the United States post-Civil War in the 1860s when the German immigrants settled in the East Coast in New York and brought their cultural activities with them, and of course bowling was a staple of that activity. And one popular report is that the game of nine pins was changed because it was originally configured in like a diamond shape. They started to put rules in place to ban gambling on the game of nine pins, so they added a tenth pin so they didn't have to adhere to the rules. Consequently, it changed into the triangle shape that we've been known to play the game with.
And how did
Milwaukee... the German immigrants, you know, ultimately migrated to Milwaukee, and this became a stronghold. There were, years ago, there were at least 13 Lutheran churches that had bowling centers. And so that Milwaukee was embedded with, because a large part of its culture is German, it carried over into bowling.
Now, I remember growing up in Michigan watching Bowling for Dollars. Was TV a big part of the bowling scene here in Wisconsin back in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, yes. Bowling, well, actually what started with the TV was Bowling with the Champs that started in the 1950s. It was, for a time, it was the longest-running show with an NBC affiliate next to Meet the Press. And that always highlighted the local amateurs that, first it started off with inviting pros into bowl matches and stuff, and then they started bringing in local amateurs, and everybody would sit by their phone hoping to get a call from Billy 60 getting invited to bowl on that show. So Bowling with the Champs was really a calling card for considered very prestigious for local talent to get the chance to bowl on TV. And then by the 70s, it evolved into other spin-offs, too, where you had the bowling game and bowling for dollars and things of that nature.
Sounds like bowling.
And we also had the Pro Tour. Miller High Life was a big influence, too, because they hooked up with the PBA and started sponsoring the Miller High Life Open here in 1966, and that was prominent on the Pro Tour for over 20 years.
So it sounds like bowling hit its peak in 1980. Something like 100,000 Milwaukee residents were registered in bowling leagues. Why did it decline from there?
Yes, it was quite a phenomenal number of residents to be sanctioned bowlers. It gradually, in the 1980s, it was a gradual recession, and this was a national trend that people started getting involved in other activities where they didn't want to commit as much to bowling leagues anymore. The bowling market had just reached its saturation point, and gradually people got involved in doing other things. And today, you know, people are so tied to their social media type things that they don't have the ambition to want to sit around and just bowl with their friends and enjoy a good afternoon or evening of recreation.
But there is a
resurgence among high school students.
Can you make the case, Doug, that it's time to bring the game back for people to go out and go out in person and bowl with their friends and family?
Oh, definitely. I always felt the businesses should to create more camaraderie among their employees, that they should sponsor teams and have them go out after work and sit around and just mingle and enjoy three games of bowling and stuff. It has happened in at the high school level. If people ever showed up on an afternoon after school, the camaraderie of these kids and their parents who come out to support them, they just fill the whole concourse with enthusiasm for the sport. The real trick is keeping kids, when they become young adults, to keep them interested in the game.
Well, we're going to leave it there. It's a fascinating history. Thanks a lot for joining us, Doug.
Well, there's a lot more history to it, but okay.
I'm sure there is. I wish we had more time. That was Doug Schmidt, author of the book They Came to Bowl, How Milwaukee Became America's Ten Pin Capital.
It's been a while since I've gotten out and bowled. I've taken the kids a few times, a couple of birthday parties back in the day. You? Been bowling lately?
Wait, you're saying you bowled at these birthday parties?
Yeah.
For the kids,
with,
or for
with
you?
The kids.
With the kids. No, it's been a while, but listening to Doug, I'm definitely want to go again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's a good social outing.
Absolutely.